enemies, and he has an article at Foreign Policy, Can Trump Pardon Himself? This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters.
My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
It's hot. Very hot. You're in the desert, admiring cacti. A gust of wind. The fog rolls in. It's beautiful. Ah. And then it starts to pour rain. You stumble to the cover of your shack. Put on a pot of coffee. Listen to the wind. A knock on the door. And there's a man there, in a pink suit. He says, I've come to talk to you about No Show. And you invite him in. He tells you No Show is on WGXC 90.7 FM on the dial. At 7 o'clock every first Wednesday night. And then he leaves.
Underwriting support is provided by Tobacco-Free Action of Columbia and Greene Counties, working to protect children from tobacco marketing in stores. The more kids see, the more likely they are to smoke. To learn more and find out how you can help, visit www.seenenoughtobacco.org.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone?
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports.
Tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's local news show for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. Today, Tuesday, June 5th, we'll hear some of Representative John Faza's responses at the panel on guns June 1st at Hudson Senior High School. We'll also hear the local news, weather, and more on All Together Now.
This is the network, network, this is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service daily newscast for Tuesday, June the 5th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A new Mueller filing turns up the heat on former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. Also on the Tuesday rundown, the U.S. Supreme Court sides with a Colorado baker in a narrow ruling. Parkland students out to register voters, and a new report shows red flag laws help prevent gun tragedies. First, our top story, federal prosecutors accused President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, Monday, of attempting to tamper with witnesses in his federal tax and lobbying case. The New York Times cites court documents from prosecutors working for the special counsel that said that Manafort tried to contact witnesses by phone and through an encrypted messaging program. The Times adds that prosecutors said this was a violation of Manafort's release while he awaits trial. They are asking the judge to revise the terms of his release or revoke it entirely, which would send him to jail until trial. And on Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Colorado cake shop owner who refused to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple. But Eric Gladys tells us the ruling also underscored that the Constitution does not give businesses open to the public the right to discriminate.
In Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, the court determined the commission denied the baker a neutral hearing by denigrating his faith. Daniel Ramos with the Group One Colorado says under Colorado law, LGBTQ residents are still protected from being denied services,
including in businesses like Masterpiece Cake Shop. So those laws still remain where people are protected from discrimination in areas of housing, employment based on their sexual orientation and their gender identity.
While it's not uncommon for the Supreme Court to consider the motivations behind a particular law or lower court ruling, Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor noted that the actions of a few commissioners did not change the fact that the baker violated Colorado's anti-discrimination law. Lawyers representing shop owner Jack Phillips praised the ruling and said the decision confirms that the government must respect different religious beliefs on marriage.
Rallies in response to the Supreme Court decision were planned for Monday evening in Boulder, Denver, and Grand Junction. About 500 protesters marched on the Michigan Capitol building and then wrapped crime tape around the Department of Environmental Quality in Lansing Monday. Suzanne Potter reports the actions were taken to draw attention to environmental crises, part of a 40-state nationwide protest called the Poor People's Campaign.
Speakers at the rally called attention to the continuing problem of lead-poisoned water in Flint and the proposal to allow a Canadian oil company to put in a new Line 5 pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac. Valerie Blakely with the Michigan Poor People's Campaign says the event is a national call for a more moral public policy that protects citizens and the environment.
Most important thing is to kind of put the higher up and the people who think that they're in charge on notice that we're not taking anymore. We need water for our people. We need homes for our people. We need food for people.
The Michigan Safety Net Coalition organized a day of action in Detroit focusing on expanding access to assistance programs such as SNAP and to health care via Medicaid. First Presbyterian Church in Lansing is holding additional events for the next two Mondays in June.
By the way, the campaign will not support specific candidates in the upcoming midterm elections, but it will encourage all candidates to address progressive issues. You can get more information at the poorpeoplescampaign.org. And student activists with the March for Our Lives movement are rallying around a new hashtag, Road to Change. Tramell Gomes reports this move comes as they embark on a summer road trip to help register young voters and promote stricter gun laws.
The students fighting to eliminate gun violence in America announced their two-month summer tour Monday morning. The goal is to travel to cities across the country following their March 24th march in Washington. Road to Change kicks off June 15th at the Peace March in Chicago. The bus tour will make more than 75 stops through August. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School graduate Cameron Kasky is founder of March for Our Lives.
At the end of the day, real change is brought from voting. We are encouraging people around the country to educate themselves on their vote, to get out there and turn voting into more of an act of patriotism than a chore.
Student activists also will hold a separate simultaneous tour making 25 stops in Florida alone, visiting every congressional district in the state. In response, the NRA has retweeted a Smith & Wesson tweet promoting a handgun with a caption, "Take the easy road."
Roughly 4 million Americans will turn 18 this year. They could add a surge of youthfulness to the electorate. That's if they register to vote. And finally, Mary Sherman reports Indiana is one of 7 states with a law allowing police to seize firearms from those considered a risk to themselves or to others.
According to a study conducted by Aaron Kivistow, an assistant professor of clinical psychology at the University of Indianapolis, in the 10 years following enactment of Indiana's risk-based firearm seizure law, firearm suicides decreased 7.5%.
These temporary seizures are working to help people get through whatever these crises might be. Maybe somebody is laid off from work, begins drinking, whatever it might be, until the risk is reduced. And large numbers of these folks are getting their firearms back after this seizure period ends.
Some critics say that red flag laws can impinge on civil rights, but gun control organizations like the Brady Campaign say research shows nearly half of mass shooters exhibit warning signs or concerning behavior prior to their crimes. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener-supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts there's a 50% chance of rain on Tuesday, the high just of 62 and a low around 48. Wednesday, there's only a 20% chance of rain with partly sunny skies and a high near 61, low around 50 Wednesday night. Thursday should be partly sunny with a high near 69 and a low around 56. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines. Gizmodo reports that Google is not renewing its contract with the U.S. Department of Defense, providing artificial intelligence to analyze radio-controlled drone footage. Google Cloud CEO Diane Greene announced the decision June 1st, and next week the company is said to be announcing a different direction. Google will unveil new ethical principles about its use of artificial intelligence. Gizmodo also revealed internal Google emails that showed the company was before working, quote, to develop machine learning algorithms for the Pentagon with the goal of creating a sophisticated system that could surveil entire cities, unquote. In one of the emails Gizmodo uncovered, Fei-Fei Li, chief scientist for AI at Google Cloud, wrote, quote, Google is already battling with privacy issues when it comes to AI and data. I don't know what would happen if the media starts picking up a theme that Google is secretly building AI weapons or AI technologies to enable weapons for the defense industry, unquote. Now Green is telling employees that the ethical use of artificial intelligence is important and that, quote, it is incumbent on us to show leadership, unquote. I'm Tom Rowe reporting for Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Good morning and welcome to Good Heavens, your minimum daily requirement of astrological observation and cosmic mythology. This is for June 5th. It always comes down to the heart. Stephen Herod Buhner wrote a book entitled The Secret Teachings of Plants, but don't let the name fool you. The secret teaching is about remembering the intelligence in your own heart. He notes that studies have shown that the heart is actually an electromagnetic generator, a brain in its own right. Moreover, he makes the case for the heart being the seat of consciousness, not the brain or the central nervous system. So think about that for a second. I ask you to think about that for a second, and you go into your brain and make calculations and comparisons, associations and suppositions. But if I asked you how you felt about it, you would go to your heart. So how do you feel about it? Anything. Everything. There. That's your true intelligence. Between 60 and 65% of the cells in your heart are neural cells. The heart has an electromagnetic field stronger than the brain. It is proven that that field can get stronger the more we place our awareness in that place. So today or this year, if it's your birthday, it's great advice anytime. Put your awareness in your heart and think from that place. Process and calculate from that place. If shadows are stuffed there, set them free. The gardening calendar says to plant flowers, and the space calendar shows a seminar on the localization of supergravity in Italy. Tune in to Good Heavens tomorrow for another exciting and edifying excursion into the archetypal realm of astrology with Ryan Evans, who can be found at www.ryanevansastrology.com. Good Heavens is produced at the studios of WDRT, Viroqua, Wisconsin.
See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on All Together Now.
All together now, let's fall apart.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? news, politics, and culture. Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. Our hosts love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow.
To harden their facilities, to make themselves more safety conscious, etc. Lastly, I want to say that we're also working on legislation that would be a red flag law, protecting due process rights for individuals. But if a school or family member feels that an individual is a threat to themselves or their communities, a red flag law modeled after something already in place in Indiana for the last 10 years, and it's worked successfully, would allow real due process rights, would allow a judge to remove firearms from an individual who is deemed a threat to themselves or their community. So there are many other pieces of legislation we can discuss, and I'm glad to be here tonight to have the opportunity to answer your questions.
I also requested a response from Congressman Faso, and perhaps you could speak to the issue of national legislation that might be able to help with these issues.
Well, I too, let me just say, I think that from the experts that I've spoken to, the training and the response time and the adrenaline rush that occurs when you're in an active shooter situation, when that officer draws their weapon, it is something that would be very difficult to have someone who is only an incidental gun owner deal in that situation. So I'm in agreement with what the sheriff and Dr. Sotmeyer said in terms of whether arming teachers is advisable. What we have done at the congressional level is we've made money available. Again, it's at $75 million in the last appropriation bill nationwide. Is a drop in the bucket, frankly, for what the need is across the nation. But part of those funds could be used for those type of assessments. And I think, though, that from my experience in talking to school superintendents and principals and school board members in the 11 counties that comprise our congressional district, I can tell you that these discussions are already ongoing. And what Mike Needham had indicated is absolutely true, and I think we should all take some reassurance to the fact that communities are having these kind of meetings among their constituencies, and that's really appropriate and very much needed. So I appreciate what Mike is doing and what other professionals are doing to try to help school officials assess the needs that they have in their districts.
Thank you. So our second question comes from Claire Coakley, who asks a question regarding the history of arms in our country. And the question is this: the founders of our country could not foresee technological advances when they crafted the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Can you please discuss the actual practical differences between regulating the ownership and operation of automobiles and regulating firearms? So I guess there's a couple different issues in there. I guess A, speaking to whether the Second Amendment might be a bit antiquated, I'm interpreting the first part, and secondly, what do you think about regulating firearms the same way that we do automobiles? And this is one for all panelists, so whoever wants to speak first.
Well, I think I'll go first on that. I think the founders could not have contemplated some of the weaponry that exists today, certainly. They couldn't have contemplated jet plane travel, and they couldn't have contemplated the internet. And yet we still are able to manage to deal within the constraints of commerce clause and free speech and accommodate these innovations that occur over the centuries. I don't think the Second Amendment is outmoded. I fully support the Second Amendment. And I think what's instructive, I think, is for folks to read the majority and the dissenting opinions in the Heller case, Justice Scalia's majority opinion, and the dissenting opinion. I can't recall right now which judge wrote the dissent, but they're both very well crafted. And the Heller case is interesting, and it's interesting in the context of today, because in that instance, the District of Columbia had sought to, in essence, bar a citizen from having a engaged active firearm in their home. In other words, you had to basically disable the firearm in their home in order to comply with the DC statute. Mr. Heller was a security guard, a licensed armed security guard at a federal office building in Washington, D.C., and he objected to this since he was specialist, since he was licensed. What the District of Columbia wanted to do was basically take away his Second Amendment rights. And Justice Scalia traced the history of the Second Amendment back to the 1650s in England. And the bottom line is that the Second Amendment, as Justice Scalia said, is not open-ended. It is not a blank check. There can be limits that the government can rationally place on firearm ownership and use. And indeed, the government has done that from time to time. I mentioned the high regulation that automatic weapons came about after the 1920s and 30s, the gangland, the Al Capone situations. So machine guns, as we commonly know that, are outlawed. When you hear people talk about the use of automatic weapons today, well, they're actually incorrect, because semi-automatics are legal. Automatic weapons are very highly regulated and indeed illegal in most contexts. So I do think that we have to be rational about this discussion. I mean, the SAFE Act is something that many people objected to in New York State, and the SAFE Act, in essence, enacted certain bans on certain semi-automatic weapons. And if you go and Google SAFE Act compliant semi-automatics, you will find a whole host of weapons that are legal in New York State that have all of the fire capacity of a semi-automatic that is now illegal under New York law. But this semi-automatic SAFE Act compliant weapon is commonly available. In fact, the shooter that went into a Bronx hospital a year ago or 2 years ago had a SAFE Act compliant semi-automatic weapon. So I think what the important thing here is for us to recognize that that shooter in Florida, in Parkland, that young man should never have been able to buy a BB gun, much less a semi-automatic or any other kind of firearm. Numerous people dropped the ball, whether it was the FBI, which had two explicit warnings about this individual, whether it was the local law enforcement, which had gone to this young man's home about 30 times, whether it was the school, which had expelled this individual for violence against a teacher, and they refused to prosecute him because they didn't want to give him a record. Well, now we see what the consequences of that were. So there are many, many issues that arise with the modern-day usage of the Second Amendment as the modern-day usage of the Commerce Clause and the Free Speech Amendment, etc. We can accommodate our needs for safety and security, maintain a Second Amendment and our constitutional rights, and do this in a logical, coherent way so that we're protected. But the rights of law-abiding people, who overwhelmingly are not the people that commit crimes with firearms, are protected.
The next one, this comes from Fran Miller, directly for Congressman Faso. Congressman Faso, given that you have been the recipient of funding from the NRA, how is it that you can say you're supporting the current drive to end gun violence? Will you promise tonight to refuse to take campaign donations from the NRA?
Including the Second Amendment. And the sportsmen in our district who are overwhelmingly law-abiding citizens. What is the problem with folks that want to castigate the sportsmen and the gun owners is they fail to understand that new laws being passed to restrict the rights of law-abiding people are not going to affect what the people who already disobey the laws will do. The prisons are filled.
হ্যালো, আপনারা WGXC 90.7 FM রেডিও স্টেশন শুনছেন একরা ক্যাসকিল হাসন থেকে শ্রোতা সমর্থিত হ্যানজন রেডিও কলম্বিয়া এবং গ্রিন কাউন্টি।
WGXC believes in hands-on two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio. Participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and much, much more. The G and C stand for Green and Columbia Counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising, while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
There's lots of musical events this week in the WGXC listening area. Wednesday, June 6th at High Low in Catskill, there's performances for the 200th anniversary of Washington Irving's writing of the Rip Van Winkle story. Performances from Catskill's Brian DeWan, Harry Matthews, Frank Cuthbert, Lovejoy the Clown, and Maze with Matt. Also Wednesday, June 6th, Lou Barlow from the band Sebado is at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson at 8 p.m. Catskill's Amy Rigby is at High Low at Catskill on Thursday, June 7th. Probably be a WGXC web stream available of that show too. Friday, June 8th, Kyle and the Pity Party and the Tins and Global Lamp all perform at BSP in Kingston at 8 p.m. Also that night, the Wild Weeds are at High Low in Catskill. And Friday, June 8th, Iris Dement performs at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Saturday, June 9th, the Northeast Fiddlers Convention begins at 10 a.m. at the Hancock Shaker Village in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Ruth Dannon, Emma Smith-Stevens, and Jen Began-Reed and Carolyn Elizabeth is the DJ at the Volume Reading and Music Series Saturday, June 9th at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale at 7 p.m. Also, Saturday, June 9th, the Dylan Perillo Orchestra is at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, 11-piece big band from Albany performing. Sweet Clementines, Dean Jones Hockett Ensemble, and Ella Ray perform at BSP in Kingston on Saturday, June 9th. The band Boss Hog is at Club Helsinki in Hudson on Saturday, June 9th. Sunday, June 10th, the Heart's Content Ensemble, local classical outfit, performs at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill at 2 p.m. Sunday, June 10th. The Voodoo Orchestra with Bobby Previtt is at Club Helsinki in Hudson on Monday, June 11th. And on Thursday, June 14th, Bobby Previtt's Blueprints is at High Low in Catskill, 365 Main Street in Catskill. Bobby Previtt's monthly Blueprints returns. Here's an excerpt of a recording of Bobby Previtt's Blueprints at High Low in Catskill on May 24th, 2018. ¶¶ That was an excerpt of Bobby Parvett's Blueprints from High, Low, and Catskill on May 24th. Here's the song You Don't Have to Go to Brooklyn from the New Paltz-based band The Sweet Clementines from their 2016 release Lake Victoria.
State.
That was Green State from Catskill's Ross Goldstein from his 2017 local release Inverted Jenny.
All Together Now airs Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties and WOOC LP 105.3 FM in Troy.
Mr. Record Man, get this record for me, won't you please?
I should keep records of these things.
The WGXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hut.
We could be so good together, yeah, so good together. We could be so good together, yeah, we could, I know we could. Tell you lies, I tell you wicked lies. Tell you lies, tell you wicked lies. Tell you about the world that we'll invent. Invitation and invention. Yeah, so good together. Ah, so good together.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Carrie Miller is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Greene County Republicans held their annual picnic at Sunny Hill Resort in Greenville on June 2nd. The 26th annual Joe Garland Memorial Family Picnic Fundraiser, organized by the Greene County Republican Committee, featured speeches from GOP incumbents John Faso, William McCarthy, George Amador, Chris Teague, and Joe Stanzone, as well as Chris Gibson, who represented the 19th Congressional District from 2011 to 2017. Republican officials expressed their support for the party's gubernatorial candidate, Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. Molinaro did not attend the picnic. In rallying the conservative support for Molinaro's campaign, Gibson said, and I quote, "There's a real sense we're moving in the right direction, but in New York State, we're being left behind," end quote. Gibson touted Molinaro's promises to limit corruption, abolish the SAFE Act gun control legislation, and to, and I quote, "stand up for our freedoms," end quote. Greene County Republican Committee members and local supporters raved about the event and the GOP candidates on the ballot. Greene County GOP Chairman Brent Bogardus said, and I quote, "It was a great crowd. This is a great campaign kickoff event in Greene County," end quote. And you can read that full story at HudsonValley360.com. Perry Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper.
The Chatham water saga continues. After another lengthy workshop on water and sewer rates, the Chatham Village Board last month raised rates for the second time in less than 2 years. This time the increase was 65%. More than a dozen people attended the May 24th meeting to learn how the village ended the fiscal year with a $370,000 deficit for water and sewer services, more than twice the deficit of each of the previous 2 years. As a result, the 700 water customers in the village, as well as 150 customers outside of the village, must pay for the shortfall. Village officials say they have been trying for several years to catch up with the maintenance and replacement of village infrastructure. Village resident John Howe said some of the figures in the sewer report, and I quote, don't add up, end quote, and he repeated a request that the board ask the Office of the State Comptroller to audit the water and sewer finances. Following the water and sewer workshop, the board voted to adopt the increased service fees. The new rates took effect June 1st. And you can read that full story in the Columbia paper. The Post Star is reporting the New York State Council of Churches is calling on members of the legislature to rebuild the state's bail system. The organization says too many people charged with a crime must remain in jail awaiting trial simply because they cannot afford bail. The council released a statement June 1st urging lawmakers to take action before the current legislative session ends later this month. Governor Andrew Cuomo has proposed eliminating cash bail in misdemeanor and nonviolent felony cases. Legislation from State Senator Mike Gianaris of Queens would go further in eliminating cash bail for everyone except for those accused of committing violent crimes and considered a danger to others. And you can read that full story in the Post Star. And finally, Tim Martin and Justin Pareka report for the Columbia Green Media. The Ichabod Crane and Greenville softball teams are returning to the state finals this weekend. The Ichabod Crane Riders will contend for a state Class B championship for the third time in 4 years this weekend after beating Section X champion Ogdenburg 12-0 on June the 2nd. Ichabod Crane will face Section 6 champion Olean in the state semifinals at 9 a.m. on June the 9th. And winner of that game and the Susquehanna Valley versus Westlake plays for the state championship at 1:30 p.m. The Greenville Lady Spartans won 9-0 June the 2nd over Section 7's Ausable Valley in the New York State Class C quarterfinals at SUNY Plattsburgh. Now Greenville plays in the New York State Class C semifinals June 9th against Section 6's Chautauqua Lake at 11:30 a.m. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. This has been the WGXC News Update. For more information and weather reports, go to the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts there's a 50% chance of rain on Tuesday, the high just of 62 and a low around 48. Wednesday, there's only a 20% chance of rain with partly sunny skies and a high near 61, low around 50 Wednesday night. Thursday should be partly sunny with a high near 69 and a low around 56. Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, June 5th, Liz Kirkus, Membership Director and Events Coordinator at the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, and artist Matt Bua will be joining Pete Levensey live in the Carnegie Room of the Catskill Library on the WGXC Morning Show from 9 to 11. The Music Maestro Hour is on from 11 until noon, hosted by James White, a bi-monthly show serving up rhythm and blues, soul, gospel, and funk. At 2 o'clock on Purple House, Robert Tomlinson will be talking with Hudson Valley-based musicians, Czech-born singer and violinist Eva Bitova, and Catskill-based musician and songwriter Amy Rigby. Later on after the news hour at 7 o'clock, Leprous Garden is back, hosted by Mantis, a monthly historical and thematic study of death metal in all its forms. Live in Hudson till 9:30.
Tune in the early morning hours of Wednesday, June 6th, after the Battlefield Earth show. Vital Weekly has new music from Amsterdam at 1 a.m., and the Tabs Out show has 3 hours of cassette music on overnight on Waveform Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.
Next, It's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Pauline Oliveros passed away in 2016, but there are still records coming out of the archives. August of 2018, we'll see the release of Alta Mirage, a collaboration with Oliveros on accordion and James Ilgenfritz on bass. It's coming out on the Infrequent Seams label. Here's Pauline Oliveros and James Ilgenfritz with Alta Mirage. Thank you.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.